So, let's start out with a story. There was a man who was driving down a boulevard, a very busy boulevard, and behind him was a woman who was tailgating him all the way. Anybody ever experienced this? And I know you don't want to raise your hand if you are the tailgater, so I won't ask you to do that. So he comes to the light, and it's turning yellow, and he makes the decision, as every driver gets the opportunity to do, to stop. Oh, well, you can imagine what this might have done to the tailgater behind him. So she just goes into this rage. She begins to honk her horn and stomp on her steering wheel and curse at this guy until she hears on her window. And she looks over, and there is a very serious-looking police officer looking into her window. And he opens the door, and he says, "Ma'am, put your hands up and get out of the car." So she gets out, and he ushers her over to the squad car and puts her in the squad car and takes her to the police station. She's fingerprinted. She's, you know, booked, completely booked, and put into a cell. And there's a couple of hours that pass, and then somebody comes and opens up the gate, so to speak, the prison cell, and says, you know, go on to the front. The arresting officer wants to talk to you. So she gets back to the front, and he's standing there, and he's obviously a student of the Four Agreements, because he starts out by saying, "Ma'am, don't take this personally." I didn't realize how funny that was till just now. And then he follows it with, "I made an incorrect assumption." He said, "You see, when I came up and I saw you cursing a blue streak and raging in your car and honking your horn, and I had come from behind your car and I saw practice random acts of kindness, what would Jesus do? World peace." All these bumper stickers on the back of your car, I just assumed you had stolen the car. We especially find that one funny, right? Because we find ourselves in that car. This is our Four Agreements series, and this week's agreement is don't make assumptions. Last week's was don't take it personally. And the Four Agreements, if you're new to this, is drawn from Toltec wisdom, indigenous Mexican wisdom, and it was made popular by Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. And so we're drawing from that today. And so when we turn to this third agreement, don't make assumptions, you know the old adage, right, of what happens to you and me when we assume? I'm not going to spell that one out, but but if we put it more gently, when we make assumptions, we let them become knowledge, right? We let our assumption become the knowledge that we then operate from. And so this is where we get into trouble. We create these concrete truths out of some kind of unknown where we filled in the gap and made an assumption, and then we act as if it's true. We speak as if it's true. We relate to others as if it's true. We assume that they did or said exactly what we think they did or said, and this leads to all kinds of drama and misunderstanding. Anybody ever got yourself in these scenarios? Yeah, it's so easy, isn't it? Last night we were sitting at dinner, and I said something to Brenly about pictures from our wedding, and her response, I completely heard differently. And luckily, I just repeated what I heard, and she said, "That's not what I said." But, you know, but if I didn't ask, right, we could have just gone under that. I could have been seething, right, under this whole assumption that was made. So it's simple things like that. Often our assumptions are based on experiences of the past that's no longer relevant, right? Somebody told us a story, maybe when we were very small, or a prejudice was passed on to us and we've just held it all these years, or a phrase that we use that we find out much later is actually kind of offensive to a group of people which we didn't even know we were just using it, right? We didn't have any idea what it really meant. And so it's those kinds of assumptions that it can be ignorance, it can be, you know, deliberate prejudice. But the biggest problem is that the story still lives in our mind, right? And that we continue to act from the assumptions and the beliefs we sort of solidify in our minds according to our assumptions. Proverbs says it really well in 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing their opinion. In today's social media world, we can get in a lot of trouble, right? We hit post, we hit send, and then we go, ooh, whoops. And there's no taking it back on most platforms. So, you know, there is that sense, right, of assumptions can really cause issues for us. We know this. The basic premise of the four agreements is when we make one of these new agreements, we break all these old ones that don't work for us. And so it frees us. So by taking up the vow, if you will, making the agreement to not make assumptions is going to break 1,000 little agreements that aren't serving you anymore. Maybe never did. Some of them might have, but not anymore. So there's three common agreements that come to my mind, and you probably have others, and habits that don't serve us specifically under this overall umbrella, don't make assumptions. One of them is an MSU agreement. You know what that one is? Make stuff up. Yes. That was really good. So that's really what an assumption is, right? We don't have all the information. We're not really sure. There's some unknown. And we humans, when we are just only operating from the human place, from the surface level of mind, we don't like uncertainty, right? We really don't get very comfortable in the unknown. It's not until we step into the truth of ourselves, our spiritual beings, that we begin to play in the mystery and the magic and the mysticism, and that we become friendly with the unknown. We become okay living in the unknown. But a lot of us in our everyday lives, it's not comfortable to not know. It's not comfortable to be in a place of uncertainty. So if we don't know, we make stuff up. And the problem is not only making stuff up, but then really believing it and operating from that place. And life moves fast, so sometimes we need to recognize that truly, maybe we have to make a decision in the moment, or it feels like we do, and we don't have all the information. So we just make a note of that. I made some assumptions here because I needed information, and we just, you know, test them as soon as we can with whoever we need to, including within ourselves. Another one that we do is the righteous agreement, right? The I got to be right, basically, essentially. So we assume because we said something or we did something, and even when we recognize that maybe that wasn't true, we're sort of entrenched, our ego gets entrenched with being right. And so we perpetuate the assumption in a very, you know, literal and deliberate way, because we're protecting our ego from being found out for having made a mistake. And then there's this one that I really love, and anybody who's in any kind of interpersonal relationship, friendship, and especially romantic relationship, it's called the mind reading agreement. Do you know about that one? You're laughing, so I think you do, right? If you loved me, you would know exactly what I need and feel in any given moment, and I shouldn't have to ask or explain, right? So we can let that one go too. You know, no need to assume that somebody has to read our minds. There was a grandma and a 13-year-old teenage grandson that were going to the beach together. And he was really excited because he was going to get to hang out with all of his friends at the beach. And he liked his grandma, so he'd get to hang out with his grandma too. So that was pretty cool. Until grandma said, "Honey, go get my thongs." And he stopped dead in his tracks. His face even started turning red with the thought that his grandmother was going to wear a thong to the beach. And he didn't want to go get it. He was like dragging his feet to go to the bedroom to find her thong. And then she's right behind him, and he trips over a pair of flip-flops, and she says, "Oh, there's my thongs." And he says, "Grandma, we call those flip-flops now." And he was very relieved. Do you remember when we used to call flip-flops thongs? Yeah. I actually looked up, in 1980, we stopped doing that. And it became just the thong, you know, which we all know, that he didn't want Grandma to wear. So assumptions can be this simple, right? This funny. It's just the whole thing of a double meaning of a word, as they say in French, the double entendre, you know? So there, and maybe sometimes a word has three different meanings. And so we use this word assuming that somebody understands how we're using that word, and they've gone off on some other idea about that word, and before you know it, it's just, it can be hilarious. So it's good to use, to bring the humor into all of this, so it doesn't become the big drama that it sometimes does when we make assumptions. And making assumptions can be very serious business, right? We don't want to be committing assumicide. Because really we can, you know, we can kill conversations, we can wound, we can even end relationships because of an assumption. Have you ever met somebody, or maybe you yourself, have been completely distanced and disconnected from a family member, and it's been so many decades you don't even remember what it was about? Have you ever had anybody tell you that or experienced that? It's like, yeah, I don't even remember what the original argument was about, and it probably was some assumption that could have been cleared up if somebody would have asked, if somebody would have tested the assumption. And that's how we break this down. That's how we go through the process of letting this, the old agreements go as we make this agreement. So it isn't so much just an assuming thought that causes the suffering, it's the solidifying of it into a belief that we sometimes hang on to for decades without questioning it. Our resistance to changing our minds then persists the suffering. Right? So if we're then willing to open up our minds, shift our minds, consider another narrative, and get some clarity, all of that can break up for us. So let's look at how to do this, how to test assumptions in a little bit more, with a little bit more clarity, and the different kinds of assumptions we make. So sometimes we make assumptions in categories, right, in groups of people. We're doing that a lot in our world today, in our country today, right? There's a lot of sorting. The political beliefs over here and the political beliefs over there, and these two groups shall never meet. But we do, right? Because we are in each other's lives. And so if instead of making assumptions that just because somebody has a different belief than us, that we can't make a connection, or that when we have made a connection with somebody, we assume they must have the same beliefs as us. Have you done that before? Yeah, so allowing ourselves then to move in closer, to get to know people, and to find the points of connection. And if we find some points that are so disconnecting that we just can't even talk about that topic, we won't talk about that topic. It can be that simple, right? For us to cultivate harmony in our world, peace in our world, and ease within our own souls. So that categorical kind of thing can range anywhere from, the effect of it can be distance and disconnection, maybe just temporary, all the way to hate crimes and pretty serious consequences, right? As we participate in perpetuating that kind of assuming and pushing away of each other, we contribute to creating that kind of tension in countries and in the world. So just being mindful that at the base of that can be assumptions, and testing assumptions, or making a bridge, as we talked about a few weeks ago, right? Making a bridge can really help us. Curiosity and inquiry are really the keys to this particular agreement. So bringing with us our curiosity and our spirit of inquiry, that can open everything up within ourselves and in our relationships and with groups of people. So interpersonally, when we make an assumption in a relationship that's causing dis-ease, we can restore ease by asking some simple questions. Did they do or not do what we think they did or didn't do that's causing the upset, or say or not say? Did you hear them correctly, as I said earlier? Did they mean it when the way that we interpreted it? That's really key, right? Did they mean, have we made a correct interpretation of what their intent was? That's always helpful to test. So all of these ways of just simply asking a question can cause a lot of drama to fall away and not ever even happen. So we also live more graciously with one another when we do, as what Brené Brown talks about, extend a generous interpretation to others' actions and words. We can do that for ourselves too, right? Just make an agreement to be generous, curious, inquisitive, and which is kind of one and the same, and generous. And with these kinds of tools and intentions, we can really live into this agreement. These are some of the key ways. You know, with someone else, you're having a difficulty, a conflict of some kind, I find just a few little simple questions to hold in my mind and to ask from my heart at the right times. One of them is three magic words: tell me more. That signals I care, I'm listening, I want to know more, I want to understand. Tell me more. Or how are you feeling? Or what are you needing right now? How can I be a support? And if we're all tangled up inside of ourselves, it's important to ask those questions of ourselves, right? To get ourselves centered before we go into this kind of dialogue with someone else or in the midst of it. So asking ourselves, you know, what am I feeling right now? What am I needing right now? And then coming from there, maybe it's empathy, you know, maybe just a moment of some comfort or empathy or reassurance for ourselves can make a really big difference. Just a breath, a pause, a moment of peace, a dropping into spirit. All of these things can really head off the assumptions and the effects of assumptions. And, you know, sometimes we go through all this with another person, we clarify, we test the assumptions, and then we find out what we assumed was actually true. Oh, well, I didn't really want that outcome, right? I was hoping you felt about me how I felt about you. And now the bare truth is being laid. That can be difficult, right? But how much ultimately better is it for us to know the truth than to continue to operate on some kind of assumption? So it's also meeting what is, allowing what is, accepting what is, and moving forward from that place to create greater freedom and clarity and harmony. The ultimate work of this agreement is just like all of our spiritual work. It's an inside job, right? So we ask ourselves some guiding questions that can be really, really helpful. Byron Katie has got this down to a science. Do you know her work? It's called The Work. And she asks these simple questions. She encourages us to ask these simple questions, and she works it as well, I'm sure. So the first question is it true? Is it true? Whatever it is that I've running on, this assumption, this concern, this perceived problem, is it true? And then just to go a little deeper, we ask, how do I know it's true? Can I absolutely know it's true? Can I absolutely know this is true? And then how do I react? What happens when I believe that thought? So we're really slowing it down now. You see how it's going more internal? What happens when I believe that thought? And you can begin to see sort of all the ripple effect, right, of all the stuff. But you also might see what happens inside of me when I believe that thought. I get tense. I hold my breath. You know, you start to just really slow it down, and you see the effects. You feel the effects. And then finally, who would I be without that thought? And usually the response is, oh, right? If I didn't have that thought, there's this like relaxation, this openness, this instant kind of freedom. And so then what can we do to change our thinking? If you're intrigued by the work of Byron Katie, I encourage you to look her up. She also has the next step, which is to turn the whole thing around. So it's a process that you can use over and over again in just about any scenario, and it's an assumption breaker. So it's a great tool. No matter what the challenge is, based on a whole group of people or an interpersonal or some kind of thing that is conflict that is going on within ourselves, always going within to spirit and asking, tell me more, show me more, is the key, right? Underneath it all, we can do all of this at a mental and physical plane, and it can help us. But until we really do the spiritual aspect of this work, the really innate work of it, that's where we root out the habits, right? That's where we really change the agreements. And so working with spirit and trusting that inner wisdom, that power of innate wisdom, and that power of understanding, that's activating those innate powers is how we really make big shifts, how we really transform our relationships and our lives and the way that we see the world and see ourselves. So that's really the juice of this, is the spiritual work. So going within and asking spirit, tell me more, show me more, help me understand so that I can move forward. And it's always good to lighten up, right? With all of these agreements, we should always put that in our how-to basket. Lighten up, because as we bring the light in, as we lighten ourselves, as we don't take everything so seriously, it just opens up all the spaces for possibility of more freedom and more clarity and more joy. Right? Have you ever played a game of telephone? It's a perfect assumption game. And it always ends in laughter, right? Because somewhere in the middle, you know, or maybe even the first pass, things change, and then they change, and then they change. And by the end, it's hilarious, usually, what we've come up with from what was intended from the beginning. And it's such a clear illustration of how frequently and easily we make assumptions. So all of this is just raising our awareness, right? As we raise our spiritual awareness, we can stop ourselves in the tracks of making assumptions and operating on them. And just by asking ourselves, asking each other, inquiring within. So we can also use support systems. You know, find a buddy, a spiritual partner, and decide that you're going to work together and help each other with the tendencies that you have to make assumptions about yourselves. There's a testimonial in one of the, I think it might be the companion book to the Four Agreements, where this woman, I'm going to call her Sarah, talks about her friend Anna and how they buddied up together. And so Sarah is one who will tend to say yes to anything she's asked to do, right? She likes to contribute, she likes to serve, she likes to work. So she says yes, and then she gets herself really overextended and she disappoints people. This is her pattern. And her friend Anna is the opposite. She's a really talented artist. And she gets projects that come her way, and she thinks, oh, I don't have enough skill to do that. And she farms them out all the time, so she doesn't have enough to do. And her friend Sarah is saying, you are so good. Why did you say no to that? So they decided, let's help each other. Whenever either of us gets an offer to do something, let's call each other and talk through it. And so they talk through and they test the assumptions with each other so that when they respond, they're not responding from those old assumptions that they make of themselves or those old knee-jerk reactions, but instead from a really clear place. So having a partner like that can be really helpful. Ask somebody to do that for you. I see a couple here doing that right now. They're making an agreement. They're making an agreement to do that. I love it. So Don Miguel sums up this agreement like this. He gives us his how-tos. When I don't make assumptions, I find the courage to ask questions and to express what I really want. I communicate with others as clearly as I can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, I can completely transform my life. Yeah, amen, right? So the higher calling of this whole agreement is about this power of understanding that is within us, this power of wisdom that is within us, two of our 12 spiritual powers of humankind that we teach in unity. And it is trusting that, activating those powers, trusting our innate selves to know, right? That's our intuition. That's our power of wisdom. Trusting spirit to give us the answers when we need to fill in information, when we need to make a decision, when we're going to say something, whatever it is, you know, coming from that place, the more practiced we get with coming from here, from the power of wisdom, the easier life becomes. That is a promise I will stand on day after day after day, because it is so true that life flows from that place when we trust our innate spirit, when we trust our innate knowing. We get into trouble when we second guess ourselves, right? When we don't trust. And so it's that practice that is key. It's becoming like the Buddhists talk about the beginner's mind, right? It's coming into that state of perpetual beginner's mind. I'm staying open. I'm staying curious. I'm trusting. I'm opening and trusting that truth within me. Understanding comes when we thirst for it, right? When we seek it out, when we care about it, when we want understanding more than we want to operate on all these other kind of MSU agreements and righteous agreements and mind reading agreements. But we say, you know, this, I want understanding, self-understanding, relationship understanding, understanding of the world around me. It's when we have that thirst that the living waters of spirit respond and flow in. And flow rise from within us and quench that thirst and give us the understanding that we need. So it's a spiritual walk. So much of this work, of course, is ultimately a spiritual walk. So we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our whole bodies and beings to live the questions and to trust the answers that spirit has for us most of all. St. Francis has, of course, a beautiful prayer, the prayer of St. Francis that many of you, I'm sure, know. And there's a line in it that's really wonderful for this particular agreement. O divine master, grant so much that I do not seek to be understood, but to understand. That's the key, isn't it? So let's live this agreement by not making assumptions and by seeking to understand. I invite you to say it with me. I don't make assumptions. I seek to understand. And so it is.